Be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high. Be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high. Be lifted high. Be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high. Be lifted high. Be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high.
King of all the ages, you're the King of all the ages, you're the author of salvation, you're the reason why we're singing for your glory.
Good morning, KKXX listeners. Welcome to Christ Today. In the studio with us today, we have our guests, Eloise and Shannon. Welcome, women. They are from the Esplanade House, so we're going to start off informing you guys today. We do encouragement and informing and just sharing with you, but today we're going to inform you about what the Esplanade House is, how it got started, and how they help change people's lives in the community. So, Eloise, we're going to start with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with the Esplanade House and a little bit of information about it.
Well, good morning. My name is Eloise Campbell, and I'm the program manager of the Esplanade House, and the Esplanade House is actually part of Community Action Agency, which there's hundreds of them across the country, and the purpose of that agency is to combat basically poverty. And so I have been living in Butte County for the last 15 years and have referred families to the Esplanade House. And the families that we serve are families that have had homelessness. And the homelessness can be because of a crisis situation, such as somebody losing their job, because the truth of the matter is, most Americans are several paychecks away from possibly not being able to pay their mortgage or not being able to pay rent. We also serve homeless families that have had a history of drug and alcohol abuse. And as a result of that, perhaps their children have been taken by Child Protective Services. And what we do is we provide a stable home so that families can reunite with their children. And currently we have 58 units. We're on the corner of Shasta and Esplanade House. We have anywhere from between 80 and 100 children that we serve, and about 83 adults. And, you know, the main purpose of our program is to provide the supportive services these families need so that they're never homeless again. It's a self-sufficiency plan. They have a case manager that they see weekly. We provide drug and alcohol abuse counseling. We provide all kinds of classes to help with self-sufficiency, to help with drug and alcohol addiction. They can live there anywhere between 18 months to 3 years.
How many families do you know of that you guys have been able to help since you guys started over the last 5 years?
I believe there have been between 500 and 600 families that have come through our doors. And we started a little over 20 years ago. And it was started through the vision of Greg Webb and Dr. Gary Agato, and these men had this vision of what could they possibly do to help homeless families. And so it all started with that idea, and they had a converted hotel on Esplanade, which is how we got the name of Esplanade House. They had a little house parent. That's how it kind of started. And then they realized, wow, that's just 12 families. We want to do more. And so through the help of the city and the state and the government, we've been able to expand. And about 11 years ago, we moved to our current site. And when you drive up, it's a really nice apartment complex. The residents have pride in where they live. And, you know, we've been able to serve a lot of families as a result of having these 58 units.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like I said, it started with a vision and it's now grown to, you know, a situation where we feel like we're really able to help residents of Butte County And like I said, these are families. And so some of them are single dads, single moms, sometimes it's a two-parent family. But we are here to serve these families and serve the kids. And something that's really exciting is just recently we now have a child advocate that they're there to help the kids and make sure that their needs are met. Because when you're homeless, you don't necessarily think about getting your kids immunized or get them to the doctor or to the dentist. And so we're really working at making sure that those kids get their needs met. And we try to do fun activities with the kids. And so we're trying to serve the entire family.
Who determines who's eligible for your program and how do they become a part of your program? What does it take for someone to get involved with your program?
Well, we have a referral process. We get referrals from all kinds of places and they have to just simply fill out an application. And the waiting list is anywhere between 6 months to a year. And after they fill out the application, they just need to call in once a month and say, hey, we're still interested. We're looking for families that want to change their lives. And we actually do a pretty intensive interviewing process. We have them come in and we really talk about our program because when they come in, it is a program. The expectations, they're going to come in and they're going to go to classes. They're going to meet with their case manager and they're really going to invest in completely changing their lives. And so it is a process to get in. Like I said, then they can stay anywhere from 18 months to 3 years.
Do they have to have any particular substance abuse issues or anything like that in their life in order to qualify, or could they just be having a hard time out there financially, or what determines their qualification?
Well, the majority of the families that do come to the Esplanade House do have drug and alcohol issues, but for some people, like I said, it's just a crisis situation, you know, where they had a job and they lost it. Usually there's maybe some kind of mental health issue in which they need assistance for, so there needs to be, for our funding, what they would term some kind of disability. But that could simply mean anxiety or depression or something along that line. And just dealing with homelessness can create a lot of anxiety. And so we serve a wide range of population and issues.
Is anybody that's there, are they working with the court system? Or?
Yeah, we have families that are working with court system. They're working with probation or child protective services. And again, I think what's really valuable about our program is the fact that we're willing to, by opening up our doors, provide a safe place for the children so that parents can reunite because that's what they want. For whatever reason, maybe they were separated from their kids and they now have an opportunity to be reunited with them and to live in a safe environment. And we are a sober living environment. We don't allow any drugs or alcohol, and we're very strict about that because that's the commitment that we make to the families that live there.
Now, you had told me before we got on the air today, you told me that you do minister to people spiritually, but you're not spiritually based.
That is correct. Our funding is state and federal and citywide. But yet what we recognize and what I appreciate about Community Action Agency is that we recognize that we are spiritual beings. And when we're helping families, we are looking at what do they need mentally, emotionally, physically, and also what do they need spiritually. And so we offer three different Bible studies. One is co-ed, one is just for women. And then on Saturdays, we offer just a prayer group. And if anybody wants to come and just pray, we don't require anybody to do any of this. We just provide it. And we're like, if you have spiritual needs and you just want to be ministered to, then you can come to our different groups. So we do provide that.
So not everybody that lives there is spiritually based or faith-based. A lot of them are people that need spiritual training, spiritual upbringing, and they're looking for spiritual answers.
Yeah, there are people from all walks of life, some that have religious faith, some that do not. But again, you know, we just want to provide that opportunity if that's something that they're interested in.
What specifically brought you to being involved in doing what you're doing now with this program? How did you get involved in it?
I feel like I have a calling to be a social worker. I've been a social worker since 1988, and I've lived in Butte County. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, and I was finding that I was working, doing therapy with families that were becoming homeless. And so I knew about Esplanade House and started referring. And then when the opportunity came up for a program manager position, I just jumped on it and interviewed. And I have just really felt like this is where God has called me to be a part of this.
how have you seen the Lord use you in ministering to the women at the program or ministering to the people that work with the women at the program?
I've had an opportunity, which I'm really thankful for, to lead a couple of groups. I lead a financial literacy class, a codependency class, and now a living skills class. And by doing that, it gives me an opportunity to get to know the residents on a personal basis and to get to hear their stories, to encourage them, to listen, to basically be a cheerleader for them.
Mm, so they're kind of like your own football team in a sense.
I guess so.
Okay. So you've been able to help a lot of women, and one of those particular is sitting in our studio.
Indeed, and she is.
Hi.
Hi, Shannon.
Hi, Curtis.
So, Shannon, tell us a little bit about how you, your upbringing and how you got involved in Esplanade House, but start with your upbringing and what turned your life around and where you are today. Take a little bit of time because we have quite a bit of time on the air still.
Okay, let's see. I'm 43 years old. Growing up, it was just my mother and I. She was my mother and my father, and we did attend church. Not all the time, but I went to camps when I was in junior high school and stuff, so I always had God and Jesus in my heart. And as I got older, I decided to take the wrong side of the road, and I started using drugs. And so I started using since I was 15 years old. My life just was unmanageable. Let's see, I have a daughter who's 21 years old, so I had her at 22. Her father and I separated also due to my drug addiction that he no longer could handle being around me. God was not working in my life right now because I wasn't allowed. I ran from God at that moment, at that time in my life. Also with Nicole, my daughter, I was separated from her due to my drug addiction, so she went to live with her father when she was 5 years old, although she was in my life. Obviously, that's not what I really wanted. I didn't realize at the time. Also, okay, so I have three children, Charlie, Chance, and Chad. The father that I'm with, Charles, we have been together for 16 years. We've made many bad choices due to our drug addiction. Our children were detained from CPS 2012, August 18th. Mm. It was the worst day of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I was still using in the beginning of my my children being detained. I was trying to fake it to make it.
Easy to do, was it?
It wasn't. You couldn't. It's not possible. I thought I could, but I couldn't. So anyways, I entered a family treatment court program, and that was for me to get to know the case manager, my social workers more, and programs to help me to get my kids back faster. So
I can ask a question. Was that a smooth transition for you, or was that a very rough, hard challenge, or you almost backed out because of the pressure?
Almost backed out of the pressure. It was very, very hard.
Okay.
In the beginning, because I was still using, see? So in the beginning of my program, I was still trying. I had to drug test. I was still using drugs, but I was dirty. So then finally, my social workers said that I needed to have a higher level of care. And for me to do that, to get my children, I had to do something. So I went into a rehab, and I was in a rehab for 4 months. And the last month, well, throughout this transaction, I found out about the Esplanade House. And also, when I was in my rehab, I started going to church, and my life started, it just became more bearable, and I didn't have to do this alone. And with the grace of God, I have Him helping me. I'm not alone ever anymore. I don't have to be alone. So, let's see, I was in my rehab, and I didn't have any more funds through where I was at, so they gave me a God bed for a month until I was accepted in the Esplanade House, and the waiting list for the Esplanade House is from 6 to 12 months.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Waiting list. Well, my family and I, Charles and I, we got in 2.5 months sooner. That's like almost not heard of often. And we did a lot of praying. We go to church and we continue to go to church and I continue to stay clean and sober. As soon as the day that we moved into the Esplanade House, I was able to bring my kids home.
Mm. Mm. That's awesome.
It was great. And the program at the Esplanade House is just amazing. I've been able to do so many things. I've graduated a lot of programs. I'm a member of the community council now. I'm part of our society.
Cool. That's awesome. From going nowhere to going somewhere. That's
correct.
Awesome.
So we have programs that they have to offer, and I've completed myself personally. Our nutrition, we have nutrition class. We have job readiness, which helps with resumes and applications and interviews. And also we have love notes, which is like based on relationships. Mm-hmm. And we also have relapse prevention, which I still attend. And that is based on, obviously, relapse prevention to help continue to stay abstinent from the disease, whatever it may be that we, each individual client of us have. I do go to a Bible study on Wednesdays, which you're more than welcome to come, Esplanade House, 3:30 to 4:30. Love to have you. And also Hope for Life. On Fridays, we have wonderful ladies, Patty, Nola, Sue, and Lucia. And they're just great ladies. They come and we have fun and have a cup of tea with us. That'd be great.
So you're saying that people coming from the outside in to visit you guys really cheers you guys up?
I'm not sure if they would be, but they would love to have a cup of tea with us. So
you're basically open to people coming from the outside in to encourage you, cheer you guys on, and be like a, you see what I'm saying? You see where I'm coming from with that?
Yes, I understand what you're saying. For sure, for the Bible study, you're more than welcome, of course. And of course, the prayers, please come. Yeah. And I have 25 months clean and sober today.
I was about
today.
To put that out there.
Congratulations, Shannon.
Thank you so much, Curtis. Thanks for reminding me.
25 months, that's quite an accomplishment.
That's 2 years and 1 month.
It is.
Yes, and also I've quit smoking. Oh. I've smoked since I was 15 also, and so now I'm a non-smoker, no nicotine.
Mm.
And in the beginning, it was really hard to quit. Okay, the drugs was hard, but quitting the smoking was my hardest thing. And also I was doing it alone, and then my partner said to me, he says, are you doing this by yourself? And I thought, wow, I really am. And then it just dawned on me, I don't have to do this alone. With God and Jesus, they have me, and it's been a lot easier for me to stay away not smoking. So I am now nicotine free.
And how long has that been?
Since December 5th.
So it's a short time, but it's an
accomplishment. It's a long time.
It's a small accomplishment, but it's still an accomplishment.
Correct.
Let's take a quick break. Listeners to KKXX radio station today, I want to thank you for listening in. I hope you're being encouraged by the information that you are hearing from the Esplanade House, from Eloise and Shannon. And I want to take a shout out right now to Storage Treasures, where they have antiques, thrifts, and great bargains. It's located at 255 East 20th Street, Suite C, which is right by Reby's Auto Parts. I also want to thank you guys for listening and also give you an encouragement out there and a shout out to Trailhead Adventures up in Paradise, 6265 The Skyway. And if you guys are out there and you're looking for a business to stop into, feel free to stop into either one of those businesses. They'd both love to have you. And tell them that Curtis from KKXX Christ Today sent you. And if you guys are being encouraged or challenged by anything that's being said here today and you want to put some feedback in, or you want to let us know that you're listening, feel free to call 894-7325, 894-7325. I love to get calls, and I love to hear when people are really being blessed and encouraged and ministered to out there, because it's not for me that I sit behind this microphone. It's for someone out there that's still listening to the radio, and I know that there are women out there listening to the radio, and I'm sure somebody out there is being touched today and encouraged today. So I'm going to get back to the program. All right, we're back in the studio with our guest, Eloise and Shannon. So we've been sharing with you what the Esplanade House is, what they do, how they help people. So go a little bit into some things that you've noticed or experienced with, as working as one of the head people there, Eloise, some of the things that you've seen God do, or some testimonies or experiences that you've been able to personally be a part of that you'd like to share.
Well, I've seen a lot of incredible things. And I think one of the things that has just brought a lot of joy to me, and I think also to the staff, is to see how relationships with parents and their children is healing. Because there has been a lot of trauma being homeless. Sometimes the parents and the children are separated from one another if there's a detainment through Child Protective Services. And so because we encourage quality time, we've got a playground, we've got a basketball hoop. It's so great to go out in the parking lot and see the kids hitting the ball against the backboard or having snail competitions and you know, and they're out there playing and their parents are out there playing with them. And they're learning to enjoy their children. I think something else that is just really exciting is to talk to parents or the adults about how the lifestyle that they lived, they can now look back on it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the ones that have a little bit of sobriety, and they can look at it and say, this is foreign to me. I don't ever want to go back. And so when you see the excitement about their future, and this is really what the Esplanade House is about. It's about hope. It's about making a change that's going to be permanent in their lives. It is a self-sufficiency plan. I mean, that is definitely the overall goal of what we're trying to do. But through classes like the relationship class and codependency, it's also about changing what's on the inside and having some healing. And so I'm seeing people have healing in their life. And
in what ways may I ask you?
Well, they're learning to forgive.
That's important.
Especially when they have been wronged themselves. Shannon could probably attest to this. They're learning to say I'm sorry to their children and have their children be able to forgive. I think that's a huge step, especially with the older kids, the teenagers. The little ones, they don't comprehend, but I think the older kids do. I think there's been healing in that area, for sure, in terms of family.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Shannon, has that happened between you and your children?
Did that happen with
the
my
forgiveness?
Children? Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, as my children are a little bit younger, my daughter's 21. She's so proud of me, and I get to be present physically and emotionally there for my kids today, as opposed to 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I owe a lot of it to my higher power, all of it to my higher power, and to the Esplanade House that has brought my family together, because otherwise I don't know where we'd be.
And your higher power, and like some people's higher power, your higher power is God, right?
Mine is God.
So
yes.
He gets all the credit for everything that's happened. So where are you headed now with what the Esplanade House has done in your life? What's going on in your life now? Where are you headed now?
Right now, my family and I, we're doing well. You know, we're human and we struggle at different times, you know. But right now, the father, Charles, is working. And he provides for us, and now I get to be a mom. I get to stay home and be a mom. I've always worked, except for the last 5 years. So now, let's see. I get to go to my kids' school. I get to take them to school. I'm now a member of the community council. I'm a program orientation. I get to meet all the new clients, and I get to show them around and some of the rules and stuff. And right now, we're paying some of our... debt. We're paying back debt. And that was one of our goals, because we have case management mm-hmm. with our case managers twice a month now that I'm in phase two and I have carpet.
What is phase two?
Well, there's two different phases to the Esplanade House.
Tell us about that.
So phase one is when they first come in. They come in off, whether it's the streets or a couch or wherever they've come from. And they're considered participants. And we have them... pay 30% of whatever they make to live here. And so if they make nothing, they pay nothing. And after they've been in phase one for a good year or so, and they've participated and done case management and all their classes, and they've worked on their self-sufficiency plan, the awesome thing is they get to move to phase two. And in phase two, they are actual renters. And what's exciting about that is they get a rental history.
Being more self-sufficient.
Yes, exactly.
That's good. That's a plus. Yes. That's a plus. So from going from nowhere to somewhere,
mm-hmm. right,
getting
right.
a start, a fresh start.
It's amazing. Yeah, so paying back debt is just a big relief, like PG&E for one. Mm-hmm. I owed, so to get we pay PG&E in phase two now. We're just part of our society now. You know, before we had more of a program in phase one, which I was in phase one for 15 months, and each individual client is based on their own individual basis, mm-hmm. what they need, what mm-hmm. their needs are, and also waiting on an apartment that will suit your family size. Like I was spoken with you, Curtis, about mm-hmm. the size amount. My family and I, we live in a 3-bedroom. There's 4 3-bedrooms at the Esplanade House.
And you're blessed to have one of those.
I'm very blessed. I mean, luckily I have a big family. mm-hmm. So yeah. So but there's also 1-bedrooms and 2-bedrooms and 3-bedrooms.
Now,
and she's excited about having carpet, obviously.
I'm super excited. You're getting carpet in now, or you already have
it? It's new when we moved into our apartment. So, yes, we're super excited. After being in 15 months in linoleum. So it's a big step. I mean, it sounds so petty, but it's actually a big step up.
That's awesome. Well, that's a testimony in and of itself. Eloise, I want to ask you a couple of questions.
Sure.
First of all, it seems like the women that are coming into the Esplanade House, it seems like they're really wanting help. And it seems like we have two different classes of homeless people out there. We have people that want help, that are wanting to do something different. They're open for a change. Mm-hmm. And we have some people out there that are just out there just to take. They could care less. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to do any judgments today, but why don't you share a little bit from your heart on both those issues and then talk about kind of bring that into the attitude of some of the people out there that judge everybody in, you know what I'm saying, in regards to homelessness.
Yes.
Just open up about that.
I hear what you're saying because homelessness is a very complicated issue. It really is. And sometimes I think society, when I say the word homeless, or you hear that word, they think of the man in the corner that hasn't bathed in weeks and he's standing there with a cardboard sign that says, you know, we'll work for food. And certainly that is, you know, a type of homelessness. And but the families that we serve are families that is not the lifestyle they want. Again, because of either their choices or a crisis situation, they have found that they have no place to live, and they want to change their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And homelessness is not a condition in which they want to be long term. They really do want to change, and that's why we do such an extensive interview process, because we want to make sure, because we do have a waiting list, you know, from 6 months to a year. We want to make sure that the people that come in are really serious about changing their lives.
Now, we know a lot of people can lie on applications. How do you determine whether or not somebody is honest or whether or not somebody's just trying to get into a program? Who makes that determination?
Well,
how
we
do you
have
know?
An intake worker, and she goes through the application pretty thoroughly, and then we make phone calls. We make phone calls to make sure, and we want to make sure that the people that come in, it is an appropriate referral, and we do require for phase one that there be 30 days sobriety, and we do drug test. Excuse me, everybody who comes in, mm-hmm. if you come directly into phase two, you have to be sober for at least a year. So there is a screening process that we go through to make sure, because who comes in is a really important part about the success that we have, because we want to make sure they're appropriate.
Does everybody that come to you struggle with drugs and alcohol, or are there some people that just come in that don't have those issues?
No, not everybody who comes in has drug and alcohol issues. I think another common characteristics of people who come to the Esplanade House are women that have experienced domestic violence. And a lot of times they've come from Catalyst or from other, shelters for battered women. And so that's another, you know, when you were talking about earlier about changes, that is something that I think has been really exciting to see is women who come in that have no voice. They are so beaten down. They don't feel like they have anything to offer to the world because of the verbal abuse and maybe physical abuse they've experienced that says, you're nothing.
Yeah.
You're nobody without me. And what I'm seeing is these women that are, their self-esteem is increasing. And they are like, I'm going to take care of my children. And I am going to get a job. And I am going to make a difference in this world. And it takes a while to get them out of that shell. But when you see the transformation, and Shannon's shaking her head, she knows what I'm talking about. When you see the transformation, you know that they're changing.
They can't speak for themselves. They don't have a voice for themselves, but they have that encouragement, which creates that voice within them. Mm-hmm. So they are able to get the help, and they're able to change within time. And then you guys reap the benefit of seeing people whose lives maybe you didn't even think could be changed. You start seeing them changed.
You do.
Now, a lot of programs, they release people and people come back. What's your guys' retention rate? I mean, when people leave your guys' program, do you have a lot of people that come back, or do people?
We have a few people that do come back. We have a pretty good success rate. We are doing a long-term study to see how people are doing that have graduated from our program. Obviously, there's some people that just drop off the radar. They move out of the city or the state. But it's about an 80% success rate in terms of people moving on and remaining self-sufficient. Occasionally, we do allow people back in, but it has to be very special circumstances in order to do that.
What might that entail?
Well, we do a very extensive interview, and we need to take a look. Like I said, it's on a case by case.
Mm-hmm.
So we really need to see when they left the first time, what was the situation? What has changed? What have they learned? How have they grown? You know, is there a humbleness to them? And because I have found, and Shannon could probably attest to this, I think by the time people come to the Esplanade House, they are pretty humble. Would you agree? I mean, in terms of hitting rock bottom?
That's definitely. I hit my bottom. Yes.
Yeah.
Shannon, you made mention to me yesterday about people trying to fake it till they make it.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen anybody in the Esplanade House that tries to fake it till they make it? Or is that impossible to fake it till you make it in the Esplanade House?
Well, no comment. No. No. You know, we have case management. We have, like, phase one, there's a different case manager. And also we have, in phase two, a different one. And we meet with them in phase one, you meet once a week, every week. In phase two, you not so much. But so, actually, eventually, it's going to catch up with you. So, no. I'm going to be, and keep it honest, like I said, we do drug testing. There might be people that have also dibbled into something,
mm-hmm.
think that they're going to get away with it. It's going to get them. It's going to get them because we can tell people, our community, we're really a tight community. And eventually you can see the difference in the people's change, their behavior, their appearance, their attitude, their being distraught or away from people. And Eloise and Shauna and Patrick, they definitely, that's their job, you know, and Suzanne, they recognize the change in people. So I'm going to have to go ahead and say no.
Faking until you make it. You could try, but you won't get away with it.
It's going to catch up with you, yes.
What have the courts reported to you or to the head people there about the lives or the changes that they've seen in people's lives that have gone through the Esplanade House? What have been some of the remarks or some of the statements you've received from people in authority, like the courts or whatever, in regards to your guys' program?
Well, when you speak of the courts, I'm thinking specifically of, like, the Child Protective Services case managers, the social workers. And they, when you have a case with Child Protective Services, about every, it could be anywhere from every 3 to 6 months, you have meetings where all the professionals get together that are helping you. And you sit down and you talk about how you're doing. And that is a real opportunity to get really real about either ways that you're stuck or successes that you're having. And I feel overall that we really have the support of probation. I feel like we have the support of Child Protective Services and that they overall really do believe in the Esplanade House. And that they see that we are changing lives.
What have been some of the remarks or statements that people have after they've left, maybe progressed and life changes have happened? Have you had any of them come back to you and give you a real thank you and a real appreciation for what you guys did in helping them?
Well, we have a graduation ceremony May of every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that this last May, we had a graduate that came and talked about how his life had changed. And it kind of, I remember that, it kind of brought tears to everybody's eyes.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts, Shannon? Go ahead.
I think it's amazing. And I believe that there is a lot of people. And let's see, I graduated last May,
mm-hmm.
but I'm still there. So, but like we have a couple people. We have a lot, actually. We have a gentleman, Gilbert.
Mm-hmm.
Who comes back daily? It's his safety net, where he knows that he's okay and safe. There's clean people around him, even though he's moved out. We have numerous people that come back and thank I see thank you cards in my case management in her office, and they come in and cards and pictures, and it just speaks for itself.
We still have some more time. So another thing I might ask either one of you is, do you personally know of maybe, besides the one you just brought up, some other testimonies of maybe some other people that you might share, tell a little bit without going into all the, you know, just tell us a little bit about some things that you've seen in some of the people's lives that have graduated there, have gone through there, how you've seen God help them with the challenges that are in their life.
Well, I think I've really seen it with the women that, like I said, I head up myself and our drug and alcohol abuse counselor, Suzanne, we head up a codependency group, and it's been ongoing. So it's been going on. I've been there, you know, for 9 months, and I see the progression they've made just since in the 9 months that I've been there. I particularly think of the women who have had the history of domestic violence, but even beyond that, they're getting their voice, they're getting their self-confidence back. And I think that's one of the biggest things. And they're understanding boundaries. They're understanding boundaries, mm. and that they recognize that part of what has brought them to the Esplanade House was in part that they got taken advantage of. And so they're learning some strategies to not have that happen anymore. And so to me, that's really exciting.
Yesterday, you had made mention some of the challenges that God had helped you overcome. Shannon, you had said was to help you be calmer, and to explain that. Tell us how the Lord has helped you with calmness and with being more at peace with yourself and stuff to being a part of the program.
Oh, wow. That's huge. My behavior is one of the main things for me. I could act out like in a second in my past. I'm not all better.
Getting there, though.
I'm getting better every day. And with God and Jesus and going to church and Bible studies, and I get to share that with people around me. And that's huge for me. Like I said, in my addiction, I was running from God, but now I seek Him. And I love to share it with people. I'm learning the Bible myself, so I'm like a little baby learning. And that's great.
Seems like you're growing real quickly.
Thank you, Curtis.
So I'm going to take another break. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to Christ Today on KKXX 930 AM. Once again, that's Christ Today, KKXX 930 AM, your host, Curtis Smith. And I want to give another shout out to Storage Treasures, Antiques, Thrifts, and Bargains, 2255 East 20th Street, Suite C, and they are right next to Reeby's Auto Parts. Go in for a good bargain. Go in for a good deal and tell them that you heard about them on KKXX Radio. Also, I'd like to give another shout out to Trailhead Adventures in Paradise, 6265 Skyway. That's a good place of business up there. They help people that are into biking, mountain climbing, camping, so on and so forth, to just have a wonderful experience of whatever they want to do. And I'm going to give away a gift for someone that's brave enough to call the radio station. It's easier to call the radio station than to be a guest on the air. The number for the show is 894-7325. If you are the second caller, just to let me know what you think about the show and everything, I will give you a $7 free haircut to Calix Hair Company. Now, where is Calix? 166 Cohasset Road, number 7. Robin Johnson is the owner there, and she is willing to do any kind of a haircut. Well, no, great haircuts, good haircuts, awesome haircuts for men, children, and women. Men, children, and women. Anybody that wants to go in and see her can, and she would be glad to help be of service to you. She also has another wonderful barber in there by the name of Mike. And if you want, you can give her a phone call at 966-8694. But if you call 894-7325, I need to hear from you. So please call in. The number for the show is 894-7325. 894-7325. You will definitely win this gift. All right. We are back to the program. So we have had Shannon and Eloise in the studio today. Anyways, I think I'm hungry. So, we've had two wonderful guests on the air today. So I want to ask them, because we still have a little bit of time, is there anything specific that they want to share on or they want to talk about? Because we still have a few minutes and
I think one thing I wanted to just for our listeners, is for them to know that the Esplanade House is part of a bigger organization called Community Action Agency.
Please tell us about that.
So like I said, community action agencies, they're all over the country. But specifically, it is to combat poverty. And so not only do we have the Esplanade House, but we also have a food bank, which is in Oroville. And we also have a weatherization program for low-income families because, heating bills can be very expensive. And so we have workers that go in and weatherize things so that people's bills can go down. So I just wanted our listeners to be aware of that we're part of a bigger picture. We are, one of three programs at Community Action Agency in Butte County, and that they're all over the country combating poverty because they recognize that it makes a tremendous impact. So I just wanted to recognize Tom Tenorio, our CEO, and he has been heading up Community Action Agency for over 20 years. He has a real passion for what it is that we do.
So what does he do?
He is the chief executive officer, so he is responsible for overall all the programs. So there are three programs, so he's responsible for all the program managers, and he works with the state and nationally to really spread the word of what it is that we're doing. And, he's a real advocate. He's a real advocate for people that are impoverished.
And now, how many programs like the Esplanade House in Butte County are there that are actually helping people like you guys are?
Well, this is the only transitional housing that is in Butte County. I mean, there are places that are shelters, like the tourist shelter, where you can stay for a night up to 6 months. And there's Sabbath House, just for women. That's part of the Jesus Center. But in terms of a long-term place that you can live in a program and you can have stable housing for, a year and a half to 2 to 3 years, we're it. And there's not many programs across the country. So this is a really unique program that we have.
How do you determine how long a person stays?
Well, And I think Shannon looks like she wants to talk about that, but it does have to do with their case plan and what their specific goals are and what they want to accomplish. So how about you, Shannon?
Myself and my family, we're so blessed to live at the Esplanade House where we're at. We want to stay as long as we can. Like I said, we're trying to clear our wreckage, pay some debt so that we can be a little more debt-free. And that's part of our goal, which is our goal plan with our case management. And we like I said, we've been here, let's see, it's 50, almost 2 years, and we're going to shoot for another year.
So you want to go for 3 years?
Yes, sir.
But in the process of doing that, do you not just want to get help, do you want to be one of the people that helps the people that are coming in as well? Do you see yourself doing that?
Oh, for sure. I love it. I love the, like I said once again, that I am a member on the community council through the Esplanade House. And I love people, and I get to, like I said, I get to meet people and greet them, and I don't think that they're going to get rid of me even when I move out there. I'll keep coming back.
You had mentioned earlier, Shannon, and I want you to really talk about this for a couple minutes, if you will. You said that you think a lot of people have a hard time doing it because they don't want to deal with the loneliness or something in regards to that. Why do you think that a lot of people don't want the help or don't want to come to a place like the Esplanade House? Why do you feel like, or what you said earlier about it's hard for them because of loneliness, why can't they look to somebody for help? Is it because they're so trapped into thinking that no one cares, or is it because they've been judged, or what is it that causes people to feel like they're alone so they won't go to a place like the Esplanade for help?
Well, Curtis, I think all of those that you just talked about, were scared. They're scared. They're possibly have a drug disease or addiction to some kind of drug, like we mentioned, domestic violence. They're scared, and you have to surrender. Not only you have to surrender to God. As soon as you do that, you can reach out to your community, like, come to the Esplanade House, fill out an application. Mm-hmm. Just,
yeah. Well, I mean, I think what Shannon's saying is true. It's we require a lot. We require a lot. You have your own apartment and you get to live your life, but there are very specific rules. There are very specific expectations. And in order for people to change their lives, they have to get out of their comfort zone.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And and that's what we say. You need to get out of your comfort zone. You're going to talk about things maybe you're not used to talking about. You're going to face the things that you've done.
Be accountable.
Be accountable. Hopefully be able to work through a forgiveness process. And for some people, that's really, really scary.
Very.
So they'd rather stay with what is familiar than to take the risk to go, wow, I'm going to change this. But you know what? It might be really, really hard.
Interesting. Why do you feel that some of the people that are there maybe, and I don't know this to be a factor or not, but Eloise would know this, but why do you feel that people that may go into it hoping to finish it, do you see anybody that leaves, and why do they leave? Why would you say that this is the number one reason why they would leave instead of getting the help that you guys so generously offer?
We do have families that do not graduate. That would be true. And there are several reasons why. One is they relapse.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we try to provide as supportive as services as possible. Two, I think for some of them, the accountability. The fact that you have to wake up every morning, you have to go to the classes, you need to meet with your case manager, and they're just people that just say, I'm not willing to put forth the effort. I'm just not willing to do what it is it requires to make long-term change in my life. What do you think, Shannon? Are there other reasons that you can think of that you've experienced in terms of people who have, in your opinion, have not succeeded?
My opinion, I agree with you, Eloise. They don't want the accountability. They don't want to have to go to their groups, which, and have their papers signed, which is required. I mean, when you come in, they break it down to you, which is a lot at once, and it so seems overwhelming. That's where I get to step into and help them out with a little bit more, which might even sound more overwhelming. But, but we're together and we're a fam. I consider it my family, and I have a big family now. Our community is really tight. It's really sad to say. Not everybody's going to make it, but the ones that do are going to be successful in life. I'm praying on that.
So you think a big part of the reason why people don't want to stay is because they can't handle the rules?
Accountability, for sure. And the following the rules, thank you. Yeah, that's it. They think that they've got it. Well, let me tell you, we don't got nothing.
Thank you. That's a good way of putting it. We don't have anything.
We don't. God does, though.
Yes, he does. So we've still got a few more minutes. So anything particular in the last 10 minutes of the show that you guys want to address?
Well, Shannon, I'd like, you've been here for a year and a half now.
Mm-hmm.
Can you maybe share from your perspective the ways, the things that you think specifically we've been able to do for you, and the ways that if you had to do a testimony of how you've grown based on our program and what we're able to offer you?
Wow.
What would you say that would be?
Like Eloise, it's been a lot due to me staying clean and sober, and giving it to God, because I can't do it alone. And also a lot of the programs that they have to offer, I've benefited from them, and I've been to almost every single one that they have to offer. So in relapse prevention, I get to talk about what to expect so I don't have a relapse, so I don't relapse and go back out there where I definitely have no desire to do that. We have parenting. We have a family enrichment with Janet Roush. She's a, what is her title?
She is a retired psychologist.
And she's amazing. Mm-hmm. So right now she has every Thursday she comes and we have a group with her and we talk about our kids' problems and she helped, I mean, she's like breaks it down for us and it's amazing because I have three boys and I often need lots of help and she gives us some really good advice and job readiness with Kathy to help me, even though I'm very capable of working, but right now this is my job. Right now I'm not, so this is my job is to be a mom right now, physically, emotionally, there with my kids. But now I have a resume that's ready when I'm ready to get back out into the workforce. I have all the tools that I need to get back into the workforce when I am ready. We have love notes to work on relationships. And you really get down into some stuff in deep down in yourself, stuff that you wouldn't even think of until you see it on paper. I'm just super, super blessed to live where we live. My family and I, Charles and I, we had to, when we first moved in for our interview, like I said, it's a two-interview, and I called every day. I called in and left my name in every single day, and they probably got tired of hearing my name, but you know what? I just didn't give up.
Persistency paid off.
It so did, and a lot of praying. We prayed, and we prayed, and we went to church, and we had other people praying for us, and I owe that. Where we're at, I owe it to God. And 1 Corinthians 15:10.
Go ahead, yeah, sure.
But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and that's due to everything that he's done for me and my family, the breath I breathe. Mm. I'm just so blessed. And also I have something here, grace. Grace, what's it stand for? Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Is that amazing?
Yes.
So, I mean, we're so blessed.
Yes. It's only by the grace of God. Otherwise, and there's people out there that aren't where you guys are at because they haven't experienced the grace yet.
Right.
Maybe you, Eloise, could, from your heart, share a little bit on grace to someone else out there that's listening and about how maybe they could see themselves at a point right now where maybe you guys could be a help to them and they could turn because of the grace of God. Is there anything on your heart that you would like to share to anyone?
Thank God for grace, because really there is nothing that we can do in our works that is ever going to, we're not perfect.
That's true.
We are not perfect. And so when we try to please God by our works alone, we will fail.
Every time.
And so I thank God for grace. And the fact that we can make mistakes and that we are forgiven and then we can stand back up again and we can try again. I think hope is something that we're really instilling at the Esplanade House. And in order to have hope, I think you have to have grace. Because I believe that there is a lot of feelings of shame for the life and the choices that some families have made. Would you agree, Shannon?
I agree.
And so self-forgiveness is an important part of that, to be able to move on with your life. And that can only come through grace.
Hmm. That is true. You have to be able to forgive yourself, but you can't forgive yourself until you recognize how much you're loved. And you can't recognize how much you're loved until you recognize the one that loves you. And once again, it didn't come for free. It cost someone more than we could ever pay. And he took care of a debt that we can never pay. And it's because of the grace that we can have that freedom. Well, I'm glad that you both have been on today, and we're about to run out of time. Listeners, if you're out there and you're at a point and you're like, you know, I need help. I need somewhere to turn. I need someone to talk to. I want to get my life in order. You've heard someone share their testimony today about where they were and where God brought them from and where they are now. And they're so blessed to be able to share with you. You have two people in the studio that have taken time from their busy day to share with you guys today about how much God loves you. He loves you enough that he cares for you, that he gave them an opportunity, he can give you an opportunity. And Eloise, you want to give the phone number out that they could contact if they want so bad to receive the help, or if they're looking for someone to talk to, if they need, you know, maybe there's someone out there right now listening that's saying, I want to turn to you guys. I need help.
Yes. The number of the Esplanade House is 712-2600.
You girls got it out there. Everyone's got it.
Right. So. And so when you call, of course, you'll get all the different, there's like four different numbers you can push, but I think it's number four that is directly to the Esplanade House.
Okay.
And don't give up. Keep trying.
Thank God for the Community Action Agency. As you guys said, it's not necessarily a spiritual-based program, but God has his ways of working through the secular community with programs that are, in a way, spiritual. Maybe they have a spiritual emphasis in them that isn't always looked at or recognized. It is helping people in a spiritual way, and you guys seem to be reaching people with Jesus. And so hopefully we'll be able to reach more women and more people in the near, women and men and children in the near future with God's grace and gospel. And we're about out of time. One more time, I want to once again thank the Trailhead Adventures up in Paradise at, on the Skyway, 6265 Skyway. And feel free to stop in and talk with them and let them know that you heard about them on the radio, KKXX radio station. This is Curtis Smith coming to you from Christ Today. The other place of business is Storage Treasures, Antiques, Thrift, and Bargains. And they are at 255 East 20th Street, Suite C, which is right next to Reby's Auto Parts. And I hope you guys have really been blessed and encouraged and ministered to today. And I hope you'll turn in next week. I hope my show is bringing encouragement to you every week that you listen. And I'm looking forward to more people listening. If you have anything you'd like to share with us, feel free to give us a call, 894-7325. That's KKXX radio station, 930 AM. And we're also on the FM dial, and FM is 104.5. Wanted to let you guys know out there how you might be able to contribute to the Esplanade House and to the Community Action Agency and what they're doing for reaching the women in Butte County and also the young children. Eloise is going to give you guys a little bit of information how you might be able to do that.
Thank you, Curtis. We have what we call a children's fund, and it is an endowment. It goes specifically for the Esplanade House. And so you can go to the website. It's called the Children's Fund at the Esplanade House, and it is tax deductible. And if there's specific things that you want to contribute to the Esplanade House, if you're just specific, if you say, I want to pay for summer camp for a kid or whatever it may be, you can be specific and we will make sure that that particular item is bought for the Esplanade House.
So there you go. That's one way that you can get involved in supporting the ministry. Anyways, I don't know if you two want to, if one of you wants to, but if not, I'll jump on it. Does anybody want to pray us out for today? Go ahead, Shannon.
I just want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for all the blessings that you give to me and my family and for the Esplanade House also. I praise you, Lord. I give everything to you, Lord. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. Hope you guys hear it next week, and God bless.
Be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high, be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high. You're the King of all the ages. You're the King of